This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. This is Wells Tech, episode 448 for Tuesday, June 7th, 2016. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I'm your host week to week as we talk about technology and ministry and other things that cross our inboxes and desks and so forth. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am awesome, Martin. It's summertime here in New Ulm and lovely days we're having, but you got all dressed up for us today. Something must be up.
Purely coincidental. I was out with the brothers at the Western Wisconsin District of Wells. They met out in Watertown, Wisconsin, just a quick 35-minute drive from the Senate office here, and I gave just a quick report on what we're doing in technology. So they were appreciative of that, and good to spend a little time with them. So great opportunities. I'll be out with the Southeastern Wisconsin District gang next week. So good that I can get out with the folks once in a while. Say, very Sally, good. I've got a question for you. I was thinking about this the other day. It has nothing to do with our show topic, but I think I heard it on a podcast, and you immediately came to mind because you kind of are a math geek, right? So I'm thinking, I'd like your opinion. How important is math in today's curriculum versus things like coding, for instance, and those kinds of things, which kind of teach kind of that structured thinking when our computers and such use so much, do so much for us, you know, that you don't have to do kind of the back of the napkin arithmetic anymore. So this is not an affront to all math teachers either. I'm just kind of curious. Does it take the same place as it did 30, 40 years ago? Because, you know, Google can do all this for us, and most people aren't going to need trigonometry and calculus. What do you think? Defend your academic pick there.
So here I am, I'm on the Miss America stage, and you shoved the microphone in my face. I would say,
we can edit it out if it's a total flop.
Oh, good. No worries then.
There's some confidence boosting for you. No, yeah. I'm serious. I'd love to hear your take.
Yeah, I definitely think math is critical, a critical skill, and certainly coding is one piece of that. It's the logic kind of side of things, but all those math skills come into play constantly in the world around you. And you know, even if you think, oh, I'm going into business, I'll have people that handle things for me or whatever, you likely are going to be dealing with budgets and, I mean, there's just so many different directions that you go. Certainly in a church and school office, you're dealing with financial situations all the time. Lots of numbers associated with that, trying to project things out into the future and all kinds of stuff. And it's not just, you know, the trigonometry skills that you're going to dust off for some obscure reason in your future or whatever, but it's the systematic thinking approach, the logic, the skills to deduce things, to, I don't know. I think it's a hugely important skill, and coding, I agree, is right in line with that and an extension of that and important as well. So I don't know if I gave you a great answer.
Yeah, because there's only so many hours in a school day, so you kind of got to pick and choose, and things like coding, those kinds of things were never really on the radar before, and, you know, I think it's important just for you know, kind of the problem-solving piece of it, and, you know, probably math fits in there too, but maybe there's a mix that is happening nowadays that never used to as well. So just an interesting thing to think about as computers become more and more of our lives, and computers are good at math. You know, they're not as good at some of the other, you know, the other subjects. You know, they can't write a novel for you, although I'm seeing some machine learning AI kinds of things that are trying to do that with some interesting results. So anyway, yeah. Like I said, has nothing to do with the topic of the day, but thought I'd start the show with it.
Keep me on my toes. Computers are good at math. I'll agree with you on that. But you have to know what to ask them. You have to understand enough to ask the right questions.
That's right. Well, this was supposed to be a lighter show. We're doing a 3-month kind of a summer break series where we try and take a little bit lighter touch on some technology topics, have a little bit of fun, keep the show a little bit shorter. People are, off to vacation and miss a show here and there, and that's fine. So what we'd introduced last week was 3 different things we're going to focus on over the summer for this first month of June, everything mobile. So the portability of technology, specifically our smartphones, I think we're really going to focus on. So we've got 4 weeks of that, and then we'll look at some other topics for July and August. For June here, though, for mobile, we thought we would just start with probably the most obvious, and that's the apps that are available. Those of us that have smartphones, and I would say that's probably a majority. I may be wrong, but I think a lot of us do have our smartphones or tablets or whatever. And obviously the thing that they do very well is they run apps, and there are apps in all shapes and sizes. What our job here is to kind of single out a few of those apps that stand out as useful for in ministry. So there's a lot of off-the-shelf apps that have obviously more pedestrian uses, but I think many of them have some ministry application.
Yep, and right away I think we would start with looking at apps related to God's Word, teaching God's Word, studying God's Word, those kind of things. And I don't know about you, Martin, but when I think about God's Word on my phone or my iPad, I think about the Bible app. It comes from our friends at YouVersion, and you can get it at Bible.com. And I use it all the time. As I'm studying the Bible, I look it up there, and boy, that paging to the cross-reference verses and things, it goes really fast when you just use the drop-down list and select the new chapter and verse that you need to jump over to or whatever. It allows you to take notes and highlight things, and it syncs because you log into an account that you can access via your different devices and via desktop or laptop computer as well. So lots of pluses to using a digital Bible, and I'm pretty sold on that Bible app. Is that the one that you use?
I use YouVersion for the most part. There are others, obviously, that are available. One that comes to mind is the one from Faith Life or Logos, the Logos Bible, especially if you are a subscriber of their services, like a lot of our pastors are. There's certainly value in that. And then there's a whole host of other Bible-type apps, even Bible Gateway, which was kind of maybe the first on the scene. Works okay on a mobile platform, and that's kind of the go-to, I think, for a lot of church offices as they're kind of pushing content in their bulletins, etc. But I think YouVersion has done a great job of making this consumer friendly, the ability to use some very useful tools like you mentioned, with reading plans and those kinds of things. We should reference the fact that there are some Wells created content in those reading plans. I know Time of Grace has put some out there, and there are other Lutheran-based Bible reading plans. So if you haven't checked out YouVersion, it's free. I don't think they charge really for anything that I'm aware of. This was a non-denominational church called Life Church that really put this together. So obviously they're coming at it from their perspective, but I think they offer a bunch of different translations. There's an audio version for many of the translations, so you can press a button and have somebody read to you. Just a lot of opportunities to dig deeper into God's Word. And I'm thankful that app is out there. I don't know how many people have downloaded that or are using it, but it's got to be in the millions. So it's I think it's the most popular one out there.
You know, I just remembered one of my favorite features is that you can create verse images right there.
Right.
As you're reading the Bible, you can highlight a verse and add imagery to go along with it. So great for sharing via social media or whatever. So lots of pluses to using that. And we could probably stop our show there because that's a great app. But there's so much more that you can do on your smartphone. Even to study God's Word, there's things like CPH, I believe, created the small catechism in mobile-friendly format. So you can go to catechism.cph.org using any mobile browser on any device and get that mobile-friendly version of the small catechism. And all of the different parts are locked away in the menu there. So that's really helpful. I use an app called Prayer Notebook. And I'm sure there's a million of these types of things out there, but this allows you actually to track your prayers and to schedule your prayers if you want it to remind you to pray for certain people at certain times of the day or on certain dates or whatever it may be. Just a nice way to organize your prayers and to get those friendly reminders via your phone that you're pretty much oftentimes plugged into.
I was going to mention this later, but I might as well bring this app up now. OneNote from Microsoft is what I use for my prayer list. So I have the mobile version on my iPhone, and during my morning devotional time, that's when I'll page over to that app and open up the page that I have for prayer lists, as well as other things that I have there for that morning devotional time. And it's always right there, and I can add things, take things off. Just kind of a nice little handy scratch pad for that kind of stuff. And many of these used to be desktop apps that still are, certainly useful in a desktop environment, have been miniaturized, so to speak, and are very useful on the on our smaller devices, tablets or smartphones, what have you.
Can't leave this category without mentioning the Wells mobile app, which has loads of great Bible study resources. We offer a verse of the day, daily devotionals, and Bible readings that take you through the Bible in 3 years, along with a lot of other great Wells-centric content. But certainly those devotional pieces are available and easy to use from the Wells mobile app.
Yep, we've recently added early childhood educators devotions. We've always had kind of the military devotion category, and then also recently teen devotions. So something for everybody there, plus the old standbys of Q&A and of course the call report and forwarding Christ articles, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, how about the Wells Tech podcast? I bet you can get that in the mobile
app
too.
Yeah, I think you can. So.
Awesome.
What's our next category, Sally? I bet I know where we're headed here.
Well, I think logically, on a mobile device, one of the main things folks do is they get social. They use social media.
Everybody's home screen, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's things like Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest. I know that's a favorite of yours, Martin. Mm-hmm. Yep, Instagram.
In that one.
All of those are super easy and friendly to use on a mobile device and share. And certainly appropriate for churches and schools to make use of. I actually follow a whole ton of churches that use those different social media platforms to communicate their message. And we've talked before about maybe having strategy around some of that social media outreach, but certainly the apps are there to do it with.
Yeah, I think the sweet spot for social media and a church's outreach strategy would be, obviously the people are going to have connections or networks to unchurched family members or friends. The church's job is to put shareable content in their hands that could be useful in that gospel outreach effort. So I think that's where I would encourage most congregations to think about how to use social media is, get content that can be used by the saints there as they're being ambassadors. So.
And just one quick mention, this may be kind of off the radar for some people, but if you're managing a church or school Facebook page, you can do that through their mobile apps. You can go to the pages and interact somewhat, but they actually have a standalone app called Facebook Pages Manager, which allows you to do a lot more on your Facebook pages. So if you have a page and you aren't making use of that, there's an iOS version as well as an Android version in the Google Play Store that you can download for free, and it allows you to log into your pages and see analytics and interact with people that are commenting and a lot of different things that you just can't get through with the normal Facebook app.
Yeah. What's been your experience with that app? Do you use that regularly, or are you just kind of use the web interfaces?
I usually do it more on my computer rather than on the mobile device. So
but if you're mobile, there is an app there that I think works really nice. I haven't used it a lot either, but all the tools are there that allow you to grab your phone or your iPad and manage that whole experience. Mm-hmm. So.
And one tool that I know that you make use of, Martin, is Hootsuite, and it actually allows you to kind of drive all your social media, perhaps from that one app.
Kind of aggregate them, take a big, broad view of all of them together. So if you're using Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever. But one of the neatest features is to be able to schedule those content publishing items that you want to get out there, but you don't have to sit around till 10 o'clock at night when you want to push this out, or 8 in the morning, or whatever. You can just schedule a whole month at a time, and they just go out whenever you want, and give some analytics, that kind of stuff. And there are different levels. There's a pro version, there's a free version, and they also have apps, so you can manage your whole Hootsuite endeavors right on your tablet or smartphone.
Right. It says over 7 million downloads. So that speaks
it's the king, I think, in this kind of space. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we move on to education in the classroom?
Sure. This is such a broad category. I began looking at this category and, I found things like Class Dojo. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before that you can use for classroom management and stuff. From that, you can go all different directions. And so ultimately, we decided that it might be best for us to just recommend some overview articles that others with more knowledge than us have done. One that I have up on my screen right now is from Kathy Schrock. She has guides to everything in the education space. And this one actually focuses on Bloom's taxonomy and the steps of Bloom's taxonomy. And she's taken those steps and provided a list of apps that go along with each. So for instance, for remembering, perhaps a listing app or the Digo bookmarking app or Google search or whatever. Moving on up, applying, perhaps you would interview someone with an interview app or whatever the case may be, all the way up the scale to creating, where you would actually be creating videos and doing editing, podcasting, making animations. And there's apps for all of that. And, these are vetted and I think worth exploring. But she doesn't stop with just iOS. She has a Bloom's taxonomy of apps for Android. She has a Bloom's taxonomy of apps for Windows apps. And then finally, just using Google tools and all the different Google tools and how they fit into Bloom's taxonomy, as well as using Web 2.0 apps for Bloom's taxonomy. So.
Yep.
Lots of options there.
Yeah, great resource there. And we'll have a whole bunch of other lists that we kind of called and curated and we'll make available to you. That's a great lead into one of the news stories we talked about, I think last week, or maybe it was the week before, whatever show we had with Jason Schmidt, where we talked about a news release from Google I.O., which was their developer conference, where they said Android apps are now going to be able to be used on Chromebooks. Which is a big win for classrooms, because there are so many more Android apps and so much more that you can do with an Android app than you can with a browser-based app or a Chrome browser on a Chromebook-based app. So that's opening up a whole new world, and a lot of the apps that you showed there, were on her
Android
Bloom's taxonomy matrix. Mm-hmm. Could be Android apps. Mm-hmm. And so now if you've got the kids on the Chromebooks, you have the ability to leverage these apps that you really couldn't before. So kind of a whole new world. I'm really excited about what's going on in that space, especially with those two worlds coming together. Just opens up a whole a lot of possibilities for teachers who are in these one-to-one classrooms with Chromebooks.
And this is exciting. This is video right from their I.O. conference. It's only about 23 minutes long. Yep, so I think, yeah, definitely worth the watch and see them demonstrate the concepts and that kind of thing. And summertime's a perfect time to experiment with this and make plans for using it in your classroom next year.
Sally, maybe the last category we should talk about, we'd probably be a little remiss if we didn't, with these portable devices being so convenient and such a big part of our lives now, is the productivity angle. You know, the ability to leverage these to save time, to be more productive, to be more efficient in what we're doing. And there are different subcategories to that. You know, we talk about cloud storage, so things are available, whatever device you're on, whether it's a computer, tablet, smartphone, whatever, Chromebook. There's all the communication tools. And email is still kind of king. And I think with these mobile devices, email is a lot easier to handle than it used to be. It used to be really kind of a struggle to try and read email, respond to email on your device. That's really not the case anymore. There's a couple of tools that come to mind, especially on, on both platforms, on Android and on iOS, there are tools that will give you what is called a unified inbox. Most of us have more than one email account. I don't know how many email accounts I have, Sally, but yeah. I know I've got at least one for work and one for home. And it is really helpful to have one inbox that shows all of the both of those or all the content that comes into those, so that I'm not hopping around to different apps. And you know, if it comes into the inbox, I can deal with them in a similar fashion. So if I have a workflow that makes sense for how I deal with mail, so I store it in a folder or whatever, if I can deal with them all in one way, that really helps my productivity. So the mail app on iOS does a really nice job of that. There, it's got some other shortcomings, but I think its biggest feature is that unified inbox experience. And I think you use that too, don't you? The built-in iOS mail app.
I do, and I have three different accounts coming into that, and I actually prefer that interface to working with the actual accounts directly on the computer these days. At least it's quick and easy to get that broad view. And then when I need to drill down and actually, you know, do a little more work with them or whatever, I can do it on the phone, but I can also switch to the desktop interface. But having them all come in together is a world of difference for me.
Yep.
Wouldn't trade it.
Yep. And let's see if I can, for our viewers, share my screen. And getting that black screen again.
Yeah, just switch tabs and then switch back.
I did that. Not going to happen, is it?
Definitely a Hangout glitch that's happening to us right now, because I get that a lot now.
Oh, well. What I was going to show is Inbox, which is Google's kind of visual productivity replacement for their Gmail app. And we've showed it on the show before. There is an Inbox app, although I primarily use it on the desktop or a tablet. And the reason I bring it up here, and the reason I think that it is kind of a productivity booster in mobile land, is that it allows you to dismiss or delete groups of emails. So it kind of categorizes your emails into promo emails, updates, social, and gives you the ability to say, hey, I don't want any of these. So you got right now I got 13 emails in my promos folder. Most of them I can live without. And in many cases, all of them I can live without. So I just hit one button and they all go away. So if you're kind of swimming in those kinds of emails, even though spam catchers catch a lot of it, this is an easy way to really rip through email quickly and clean it out, and it is a real boost to productivity. So you have to have a Gmail account, I believe. Now that I'm saying that, I'm pausing and wondering whether that's actually right. I think it does only work with Gmail, but I think you can bring in other emails as well. But it's a great boost in productivity and a nice looking interface as well. And it has things like schedule. So follow-up then kind of concept, where we've talked about that in the past, where you can say, don't show this to me again for 3 days. You can schedule these to get out of your face for a week and then come back, you know, at an appropriate time. So it's a well-done app. I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. While you're on the Google bandwagon, and, you know, certainly there's a whole Microsoft suite of tools that you can use for mail and other productivity type things, but in the Google realm, I really rely heavily on my Google Contacts. And again, that's something that I can unify on my mobile device, but I prefer to maintain those contacts just in one place, so that if things change, I know I have this one location I can get to those contacts. So bringing them all in through my Google account has worked really well for me. So then I have access to them on whatever device I'm using, and if I do updates and things, it propagates across all the different locations. I make use of that. So that's a big deal. I know when we were in a congregation setting, we could, with our congregation database, like export contact information and import it into our Google contacts list, so that just very quickly and easily you could have all your congregation members and their contact information with you in the palm of your hand if you're out doing visits or whatever it may be. Very easy to look up a phone number or address, get mapping from that, whatever you'd need.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So that's our quick run through. We'll have some other links in the show notes. Of course, wellstech.wells.net is the place to go for all that stuff. Just kind of a fun little tour of the apps, and there are, you know, obviously we could go on all day, you know, with the apps that are out there that are have usefulness for ministry. So if you found some that are kind of lifesavers for you, or just kind of the go-to app on your home screens, let us know what those are. Go to wellstech.wells.net, leave a comment, send an email, wellstech@wells.net. Find us on social networks. Just let us know what your favorite apps are, apps that are useful for your ministry, whatever that may be, and we'll share those on the show in future episodes.
Very good.
Sally, are we up to picks of the week? We're still going to do those this summer, so I see here that you've got a pick. Share that with us,
please. I do. And this actually relates to the discussion of mobile and that kind of thing, in that there is the capability of adding icons on your iOS device, at least. I would guess this exists for Android as well, but on iOS, you can add your own icons which link to websites. And I thought, well, how am I going to explain this? I should go find some help resource on that. And as it turns out, Apple has a really great area in their support area with manuals for all their different devices. So I just clicked on the iPhone section, and there was an iPhone user's guide for iOS 9, and there's a web version versus an iBook. So you can get it in whatever format you want. And I was quite impressed. This is a great interface. It lists all the different types of apps that are built into your iOS device, and you can easily and quickly drill down to get more information. This is actually a feature that I'm aware of through the Safari browser on iOS, and you can use it using bookmarks. So looking at Safari and Keep Bookmarks, there's instructions there for saving an icon for the current page onto your home screen. And you just use that bookmark icon, and then there's an option to add to home screen. And then you get a little icon on your actual device home screen that'll take you to a particular website. So my son's out in Colorado this summer, and he's blogging his adventures. And I thought, oh, I want to be able to get back to this and read his blog post easily. So I made an icon on my desktop, and it takes me right to the blog that they're doing. And when he's back home, I'm sure I won't need to keep that icon on my desktop, and I can easily get rid of it. But it's nice to have that capability to create those shortcut links, basically, so that you can get to them from your home screen. So that's my tip of the week.
Perfect fit for our topic of the day, because that kind of blends the app ecosystem with all that's out there on the web, where the web has apps themselves that are sure. web-based, that you can treat them just like any other app on your home screen. So good tip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thanks. Yeah, and Android definitely has the same kind of functionality.
Good.
And good resource there, too, with the Apple support manuals. Mm-hmm. My pick of the week, and let me see, I'll try sharing. I don't even see it. Oh, dear.
Not going to happen. Can I share it for you?
I can share my entire screen. So let's see how that's going to work. Let me see if I can make this really big.
There you go. That works.
Okay. There's always a way, Sally.
That's right.
My app or pick of the week is an app, and it is a weather app. It is called Dark Sky. We're in the time of year where you spend more and more time outside, so it's helpful to know what it's doing outside or what weather is coming your way. And if you've been living here in Wisconsin the last 3-4 weeks, we've had like a major thunderstorm, hail, winds, about every other day. So at some point, we're seeing some severe weather. So an app like this is really awesome. This has been around quite a while. It's available on Android and on iOS. And they've kind of taken a really neat approach to this. First of all, it notifies you as things are approaching. And you can kind of tweak those notifications however you want. And basically, it'll tell you it's going to start raining in 10 minutes or something like that. And then when you go into the app, there's lots of tools there that will kind of help you predict what it's going to be like for the rest of that day even. So it'll go hour by hour. It'll give you temperature. It'll give you chance of precipitation. It'll give you wind, UV index, those kinds of things. And it'll go out 7 days usually. So you can, and it's actually very accurate. So as you go through the week, you can see what's coming up tomorrow. But my use case for this is really during the day. So if I'm going to go out gardening or whatever, I want to know what the chances are that I'm going to make that through, or if I'm planning a picnic or eat out on the patio, whatever, this is kind of that go-to app. It is not free. I think it's like $3.99 on iOS. I don't know what it is on Android. I'm sure there's some charge for it. If you've got an Apple Watch, there's an Apple Watch app that's connected with the smartphone-based app. Again, that's called Dark Sky. And I think it's a really good tool for those of you that need to kind of track what's going on in the neighborhood. Now, if you live like in California or places where it never rains, probably not as useful. But around here, the weather can change hour by hour. So this is actually a very useful app. So
very nice. And you know, some of those pay far apps like that, it makes it very worthwhile because you don't get advertising. And
right.
Free weather apps, but you get really lost in the advertising that's in them.
Yeah, so. One other nice feature I forgot to mention is their radar is like a Google Earth experience. So you kind of spin the ball and zoom in to different parts of the globe. So it's really easy to kind of see these big weather patterns and see over time. They have a little timeline at the bottom sometimes, like you'll see on the Weather Channel or whatever, saying, 3 o'clock is going to be like this and 5 o'clock is going to be like that all over the world. So it's they've done a really nice job. They've been, like I say, been around a long time. And Apple just voted them the best watch app of 2015, or not just, but recently. So if you've got one of those, it's a really good app too. So that is my pick of the week. We do have a little feedback this week, right, Sally?
We do. We heard from Pastor Emil Burgess, who serves at Trinity in Caledonia, Wisconsin. And he was actually writing about your pick of the week last week, Martin. You had a great pick of the week, a Bluetooth speaker, as I recall.
Yep, JBL Bluetooth speaker, which they're just coming out with a new version. And you have that screenshot for that?
I sure do. Hang on just a second. He is also an owner of a Bluetooth speaker. His is called the Echo X Gear Echo Carbon waterproof speaker.
This is an extreme speaker. First of all, I should tell you something that he got at REI, which is an outdoor store. And it's fully waterproof. He says it floats. Again, has a lot of the same features that the one that I picked had. Great sound. My use case was kind of Bible study settings, those kinds of things. I don't know if I'd take it up Pikes Peak or something like that, but this you probably could. So if you're outdoors and you want to bang this thing around, and if it rains and gets wet, doesn't really matter. $129 looks like an REI. He said he had some gift certificates and such to spend at REI. If you're not familiar with REI, they're a, I don't know if I'd call them a co-op. They're a, it's a club you join. I don't think club's the right word either. I think they are.
It says co-op.
So you become a member, mm-hmm. and then the more you spend, the more points you get, and then the rebates come back to you. So you will get some rebate points. And like Emil mentioned, he had some gift certificates and such, so we spent it on this. This looks really awesome. You can hang it off of things, hang it off a backpack, whatever. Really ruggedized, and if it sounds good, probably multiple uses for that. So that's the Echo X Gear Echo Carbon Waterproof Speaker. I think they got to work on the name, but it's really cool. So thanks for giving us that feedback.
Definitely. He mentioned that he had trouble gearing up to buy one because he didn't think he had enough use cases. Right. And then he said, now that I have it, I'm finding all sorts of uses for it. Yep. So good investment.
Yeah, I plug mine in when I'm out in the backyard, you know, doing the gardening or repainting the deck or whatever. So there's lots of use cases for it. Plus, we mentioned the ministry ones as well, Bible class and such. Sally, that's going to about do it for this week's show. I don't know if we made a half hour, but we were kind of close. That counts in my book. I'm really excited about next week's show, and that's all about mobile photography. I'm headed up to Door County this weekend. That's a kind of a resort area in northern Wisconsin, that little thumb that sticks up at the northeast edge of Wisconsin. And I normally take my DSLR up there and get some nice sunset photos and wildlife and those kinds of things. I'm not going to take that camera up there this weekend, but I am going to kind of commit to getting more comfortable with my iPhone camera, which has really got an awesome lens in it and great software. So I'm going to see what I can do with just my little old iPhone and experiment a little bit with that. There's all kinds of resources, which I think we'll probably touch on next week. So if you have a camera in your smartphone, you will not want to miss next week's show, Mobile Photography.
Looking forward to it. And by the way, if you want to donate any of those great images you get up in Door County.
What a segue.
We have a photo challenge going on. And for the month of June, it's all about travel and vacation. So they would fit right in. So awesome. Head over to wellstech.wells.net/photo-challenge. Imagine that.
Incredible. Sally, thanks so much for joining me once again. And I look forward to talking with all of you next week as well. Blessings on your week and your weekend. See you next week. Bye-bye.